President Donald Trump lands in China Wednesday for the first time in nearly 9 years. Lauren Belsey and Caitlin Babcock size up an agenda likely to run from trade deals to artificial intelligence and global security. And Scott Tyson explores what's at stake for the region, including Taiwan. Also, we look at how Brazil squares its deep history of fighting racism with where it stands today, and we surface a book that sounds to us like a fun read. The subject, When News Travel at the Speed of Horseback. Enjoy. It's Wednesday, May 13th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Ira Porter. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. The commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration resigns. Marty McCarry, the head of the FDA, had been at odds with the Trump administration's desire to approve fruit-flavored e-cigarettes for adults. Remarking on Dr. McCarry's departure, President Donald Trump called him a terrific guy and a great doctor, but added that he was having some difficulty in the role. In congressional testimony, the surgeon and health researcher had expressed concern that flavored vapes appeal to kids. Mr. McCarry had also approved the generic brand of abortion medication, which angered some conservatives. An anti-Semitism network warned of a global rise in attacks on Jews. Special envoys and coordinators combating anti-Semitism, or SECA, warned in a joint statement issued in Geneva of a sharp global rise in attacks targeting synagogues, schools, and Jewish gatherings. They urged governments to strengthen security, prosecute anti-Semitic crimes, and curb online hate speech. The envoys said anti-Semitism threatens democratic values. Anti-Semitism is a threat to Jews, and that alone would be reason enough to fight it, the envoys declared, warning it also erodes the very foundations of our democratic and free societies. Also, in the Philippines, a girl swam for 5 hours to save her family. When a motorboat carrying Cherry Ann Mateo and her family capsized off of Culasi Antique in the Philippines on May 6, the 12-year-old decided to swim to an island to seek help to rescue the other three passengers. She spent more than 5 hours swimming more than 3.5 miles to reach shore. The subsequent search mission rescued the three others late that night. On Monday, the Coast Guard awarded Ms. Mateo a commendation for her bravery and presence of mind during the incident. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. This year's partisan contest over redrawing political maps has been expanded and extended by the recent Supreme Court decision reframing a section of the Voting Rights Act. The last-minute rush is the latest sign that many election norms aren't locked in stone. Story Hinckley reports for The Monitor. In Beijing, President Donald Trump and President Xi Jinping are expected to discuss the future of AI, as both the U.S. and China compete to dominate this new technology. The outcome of the meeting and the contest could have a profound impact on the world's two biggest economies. Lauren Belsey and Caitlin Babcock report for The Monitor. In Taiwan, people's willingness to stand up to coercion from China is closely related to their trust that the United States will come to their aid. That trust is wavering during the second Trump administration, and Beijing is seeking to amplify the doubts. Ann Scott Tyson reports from Taipei and Beijing for The Monitor. Brazil has some of the toughest racism laws in the world. The laws stem from the nation's long history of slavery. But is legal code enough to change society? Contributor Constance Mollere reports from Rio de Janeiro for The Monitor. Many books delve into the writing or ratifying of the Declaration of Independence. One historian examines the swirl of information in 1776 that changed people's lives, colonists made life or death decisions based on accurate and inaccurate reports, gossip, and speculation. Scott Baldolf reports for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on how Africa refashions relations with the West. This week's Africa Forward Summit in Nairobi, Kenya, signals both continuity and change, or to put it differently, continuing change in perceptions of the continent's opportunities and abilities to decisively shape its future. Co-hosted by Kenya and France, the May 11th through 12th event has drawn some 30 heads of state and 7,000 government and business representatives to the East African capital city. Discussions are focused on investment in artificial intelligence, renewable energy, and infrastructure, and on ways to reform international trade and finance systems to address indebtedness and unlock capital flows. In opening remarks, Kenyan President William Ruto consigned the era of aid, dependency, and unsustainable borrowing to the past, calling for a new paradigm grounded in investment, innovation, and partnerships built on sovereign equality and mutual benefit. Let's take a leap together into equal partnership, his co-host, French President Emmanuel Macron, urged, announcing the mobilization of 23 billion euros or $27 billion of investment from French and African companies. Since taking office in 2017, Mr. Macron has sought to reinvent the former colonial power's relationships with African countries, having visited almost 20, more than any previous French president. He loves the energy, the creativity, the optimism there, a former classmate and advisor told Le Monde. Such recognition of the continent's dynamism and drive marks a subtle and necessary shift in long-held attitudes toward Africa. While it might not yet be evident in other Western capitals, Mr. Macron could be setting an example for national self-reflection and a willingness to forge new relationships based on two-way respect and regard. When such qualities imbue diplomatic and economic outreach, they are more likely to strengthen trust and cooperation. In an era of major geopolitical uncertainty, France and many African nations are increasingly aligned on the need for upholding a stable and dependable world order. During the summit, Mr. Macron noted a common interest in building strategic autonomy for Europe and Africa, remarking, "If we build it together, we will be much stronger." Despite France's fraught history in West and North Africa, some Africa observers are expectant of transformation and progress. Foreign investment can bring exploitation alongside needed infrastructure, jobs, expertise, and financing, pointed out Kelvin Ndunka in an op-ed in a Turkish paper this week. But improving continental cooperation and building internal systems to frame equitable partnerships can help counter the risk, he noted. As veteran journalist Yinka Adegoke observed in Semaphore Africa on Monday, the conversation in Nairobi is less about the French reclaiming influence in Africa than about African countries widening their options. More such options are key to unlocking meaningful progress on a continent where 60% of inhabitants are under 25 years of age. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we understand that only God, good, is present and has power, we begin to disbelieve the reality of evil, and this brings healing. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Ian Case, Mackenzie Farkas, and Audrey Thiebert.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.